This recording is part of a series of podcasts in which the novel Dear Yoni is read aloud chapter by chapter by the author Lisa Picard. Please note that Dear Yoni contains sexually explicit language and scenes of a sexual nature. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18.
Hello and welcome back. Last week we read about the childhood of our heroine Jess, and also about how she met her husband James. We also heard about some of the problems that they'd been having in their marriage, and about some of the rather, well, interesting things they'd been doing to try and address those problems. Today I'm going to read to you from chapters 2 and 3. I hope you enjoy. Chapter 2. Learning from the Professionals. One afternoon, as I browsed the shelves of a bookstore, whilst waiting for Alice to arrive for our coffee date, I discovered and bought a book called Magical Sex, which featured really beautiful and artistic photographs of a bewildering multitude of sex positions, a sort of glamorous and modernized version of the Kama Sutra, I suppose. James and I spent an hilarious Saturday afternoon trying out most of the positions, one after the other, which was loads of fun until he put his back out attempting the swing position. In retrospect, the fact that it came with a warning to be attempted by very athletic couples only should have tipped us off that it was a bad idea. After all, evenings spent reading and watching TV didn't do much for increasing fitness, strength and flexibility. After several expensive and painful sessions at the chiropractor, James shoved the book behind a stack of magazines on the bookshelf, where I suspect it will languish for the rest of its days. One lazy Sunday afternoon, a few weeks later, I was idly scrolling through my Facebook feed when I encountered a link to a blog post about the effects of pornography on children and teenagers. It suddenly occurred to me that, porn was something that could possibly benefit our sex life. After all, we were mature adults and not teenagers. So there should be no negative effects on us, I reasoned. James, do you like to watch porn? I asked. What? What do you mean? He spluttered, dropping the TV remote and then spending an inordinately long time bending over to pick it up. I mean exactly what I say. Do you like porn? Does it excite you? I was thinking that, if you do, perhaps we could watch some porn together and see if it gets us in the mood, I giggled, waggling my eyebrows suggestively at my husband. Oh, yeah, sure, of course, if you really want to, he said, looking rather relieved. I realized that he had been afraid of retribution if he admitted to watching porn. A few minutes later, watching with shock as James opened folder after folder of porn videos on a password-protected drive that I hadn't even known about, I realized that there was much about my husband that I didn't know. Eventually, he selected a video and we sat down to watch it together. The plot was awful and the acting even worse, and it soon became clear that my husband enjoyed watching very young-looking girls having sex. My inner feminist was appalled, but another part of me actually found the video very erotic, and soon my hand crept down to my husband's hard-on. He looked at me guiltily, but very quickly I had him distracted. He put his hand in my panties, and the two of us masturbated each other as we watched the action on the screen. It was very exciting at the time, but afterwards, as we lay in bed together, I felt uncomfortable and a little bit besmirched by the thought of what we had done. James, I don't know whether it's a good idea to watch that stuff. How do we know whether those girls weren't being abused, and how old were they anyway? They're all over 18, honey. It says so on the video. But yes, I'm sure there is abuse involved in the porn industry, and possibly drugs as well. And yet, you seem to enjoy it a lot, I commented. It's just for release, he huffed defensively and rolled over onto his side, presenting me with his back. And you are the one who suggested it, he mumbled. And that was where we left it that night. But 2 days later, as we were finishing dinner, James said to me, Honey, I've been thinking a lot about your comments about those porn videos, and you know what? You're right. I think I got angry with you because I've been feeling uncomfortable about it for a while. My moms were always very clear about how awful the porn industry is, how much it exploits women and children, and how much damage watching porn can do. Maybe on some level, my use of porn was a stupid, childish rebellion against my moms. Anyway, I've been doing some research, and I've found a site that sells only ethical porn. The actors are all definitely over 18 and are fully consenting and are properly paid for their work. It's not for free, but I feel a lot more comfortable about watching it, and I hope you'll watch some with me again, because that was very hot for me, babes. So that's exactly what we did that night, and at least once a week for the next couple of months. And our sex life definitely took an upswing again. I also learned a thing or two watching the professionals at work, and James and I became more adventurous in trying new techniques and positions. I discovered that I found porn in which there was role-playing and power imbalances extremely exciting, which led to our next little sexcapade. Day 5. Dear Yoni, seeing as this is a space of complete honesty between us, I have to admit that although that was an exciting time of experimentation in my relationship with James, something, for me at least, was missing. I chose not to look too closely at my feelings of discomfort at the time, but in retrospect, I realized that I knew, on some subconscious level, that I was playing a role. It was the role of the exciting, adventurous lover, the game for anything, cool girl. But the veneer was actually paper thin. Something deep inside of me was not being fed by any of these experiences. But I was so invested in the role I was playing that I simply couldn't allow myself to interrogate my feelings too deeply. It had always been my habit to throw myself into experiences, holding nothing back, and so I chose to do this in my sexual adventures with James. I was so determined to fix our relationship that I ignored any clues that something more was wrong than just our lackluster sex life. I was to pay very dearly for this lack of attention later, but for now, we were having a ball, or at least, we were working very hard at convincing ourselves that we were. Chapter 3. The Games People Play. After discovering that both James and I had found a porn video about a schoolgirl-headmaster interaction very exciting, I decided to look a little bit deeper into potential role plays that we could try out to bring some additional excitement into our love life. I found a website outlining 101 sexual role plays, many of which looked like a lot of fun. There were some seriously weird ones there too. James, how do you feel about playing the role of an alien life form that enthralls the sexy Star Trek captain and forces her to perform all kinds of weird and kinky acts as its sex slave? I asked. What are you talking about? Who's sex slave? James didn't even lift his eyes from the financial report he was studying. I guess not, I giggled softly and went back to perusing the list. There was a rather messy sounding scene in which we could both be evolving life forms, rolling around in the mud as we gradually discovered sexual reproduction. Nah, I whispered to myself, moving on to the next page, amused and astounded by the extent of both human creativity and human weirdness. Eventually, I settled on a short list of 10 scenes that sounded exciting to me, and later that evening, when James was finally relaxing after his workday, much hilarity ensued as I shared the list with him. Finally, we decided on 5 scenes that we'd both like to try, and decided that the following evening would be the perfect opportunity to try out number 1 on our list. We spent a fun and sexy hour discussing and negotiating our respective roles and boundaries and desires, just as the website had recommended. The whole discussion had us both hot and bothered by the end, so we had some excellent sex once we got into bed. I fell asleep feeling excited about the potential positive effects that role-playing could have on our sex life. I was also more than just a little bit apprehensive about the game we had planned for the following evening. I was sitting in my car outside the club, taking deep breaths and trying to calm my nerves as I checked my makeup in the rearview mirror and smoothed down my long black wig. Right, this is going to be so much fun, I reassured myself as I pried myself out of the car, surreptitiously adjusting my push-up bra, smoothing down my tight pencil skirt, and wobbling slightly on my killer heels, I sashayed into the club. The theme was Moroccan, and the sexy and sultry atmosphere was enhanced by candles and lamps on brass trays serving as low tables, surrounded by plump jewel-colored cushions. The place was jam-packed with beautiful young things. Amber candles in ornate holders cast intricate lacework shadows on high cheekbones and generous cleavages. The music was a slow, pulsating throb which sent a shiver up my spine. I wobbled over to the bar area and gratefully sank into a mercifully high-backed chair. I hadn't relished the idea of trying to gracefully recline on a low cushion or ottoman in my tight skirt. I caught the barman's eye and ordered a ridiculously lurid pink cocktail in keeping with the persona I was inhabiting. Jess really disliked sweet cocktails, but Vivi absolutely loved them. I sipped the concoction as I glanced around at the people seated at the bar. As I studiously avoided the intense gaze of an older man sitting alone at the other end of the bar, I began to feel very exposed and vulnerable. Perhaps this wasn't such a great idea after all. Perhaps I should just leave. Hello, gorgeous. Would you like some good company? I whipped around on my seat and smiled, with no small measure of relief, at the tall, tanned, blonde man standing before me, with a devilish twinkle in his eye. That depends, I giggled, flicking my silky black hair over my shoulder and accidentally entangling it in the long red talons stuck onto my fingernails. He grinned at me as I yanked my fingers out of my hair and then reached over to gently pluck a fake plastic fingernail stuck in the tendrils framing my face. My cheeks flushed in mortification. This was definitely not going according to plan. But, like an absolute trooper, he stuck to the script. What does it depend upon? He asked. Whether you are good company? My voice lifted at the end, turning my sentence into a question. Pull it together, Jess, I silently admonished myself. I straightened my back, pushed out my chest, and lowered my eyelids slightly to smolder at him. Sweetheart, I am excellent company. Let me buy you a drink and prove it to you. He was confident and in charge, and a little thrill ran through my body as I allowed him to lead me with his warm hand on the small of my back to a secluded table in a corner of the room where I managed to, more or less gracefully, settle myself on the soft, low couch. After that, things began to progress according to plan, and half an hour and two drinks later, I found that I was actually enjoying myself immensely. He was charming and handsome and funny, and I was really getting turned on as he gently stroked the back of my hand with one long finger. I gasped as I felt his other hand settle on my knee under the table. At first, he simply traced tiny slow circles on my inner knee with his thumb, while gazing deeply into my eyes and continuing the flirtatious conversation. But then his fingers started to roam up my inner thigh, and I gasped again as his fingertips grazed my lace-covered pubic mound. "Can I get you more drinks?" I started as the waitress appeared at our table. But my date just ordered us another round without pausing in his explorations under the tablecloth. My eyes widened and my heart started pounding wildly as his fingers slowly crept beneath the lace and lightly brushed up and down the length of my pussy. I moaned softly as one of his fingers dragged through the hot moistness of my core. I could feel his hand tremoring. Finally, he was also beginning to lose his cool, thank God. To test my theory, I placed a tentative hand in his crotch and was rewarded by the discovery of a bulging erection straining against his dress pants. "Let's get the hell out of here," he growled, throwing a bundle of notes onto the table, grabbing my hand and pulling me out of my seat. Within minutes, we were in his car, which was fortunately parked in a dark, quiet part of the parking lot, because we barely made it inside before he was ripping off my lace panties and undoing his pants. Within seconds, I was sitting on his lap on the driver's seat, and we were going at it like a pair of oversexed bunnies. We both orgasmed within minutes and then collapsed onto our seats, sweaty and quivering and grinning like a pair of idiots. Well, I think we can safely agree that that was a huge success, he finally gasped, looking over at me and straightening my wig, which was hanging at a lopsided angle, strands of artificial hair sticking to my sweaty cheeks. Somehow, his own blonde wig had remained perfectly in place throughout all of our exertions. Yes, that was a lot of fun, I agreed. But deep inside of me there was a tiny little niggle. Something didn't feel quite right, but I couldn't put my finger on why. I dismissed the feeling and turned to my husband to give him another deep kiss. Let's try another of the scenes as soon, okay? Over the next few weekends, we did indeed play out several other scenes with varying success. I played a virgin who was initiated into sex by an older, experienced guy, played by James, of course. We played me being an Asian sex worker who gives my client an erotic massage with a happy ending. My excruciatingly fake accent nearly derailed that one as we both collapsed into hysterical giggles. We played James as a hypnotist who hypnotizes his client into performing all kinds of deviant sexual acts. And we even did James as a pizza delivery boy who was seduced by a cougar, me. We also played around with some like bondage and blindfolding of each other as we experimented with providing each other with different sensations, smells, tastes, sounds, feelings, etc. But after a couple of months of weekly enacting of different scenes, I noticed that neither of us were quite as keen as we had been in the beginning. It was starting to feel like a bit of a chore to keep doing the preparation required to set up a scene. And the scenes themselves were beginning to feel like work, and frankly, rather phony. Role-playing appeared to have lost its luster for us. As I lay awake at night, listening to James snoring next to me in our bed, I wondered yet again, what was wrong with us? Or possibly, and more likely, what was wrong with me? Because that little niggle that I successfully kept pushing away during our interactions or during daylight hours became a strident voice in the wee hours of the morning. I couldn't shake off the feeling that there was something seriously wrong with our relationship. Once again, we were spending all our free time just sitting in front of the TV and not speaking to each other at all. However, any attempt to discuss this with James was immediately shut down. He insisted that nothing was wrong and that I was being paranoid. Eventually, I left it. And sadly, our sex life returned to its weekly lackluster duty bonk. Day 6. Dear Yoni, as I look back on those months of desperately trying to rescue our relationship, I realize that we reached the point of no return that autumn. Up until that point, I think we could still have found a way to keep our relationship going, even if it was boring and our sex life was mundane. We would probably have settled on it simply being that way. We were so used to each other, and the life we had built together was comfortable and convenient in so many ways. And possibly, we would finally have gotten round to having a baby, which would have provided a whole new focus and purpose to our relationship, maybe. But the events of that May evening spelled the beginning of the end for us. It was the moment at which we began to seriously contemplate the idea of inviting others into our relationship. And yet at the time, it seemed as if we'd simply found another new, exciting avenue to explore. And initially, at least, our relationship appeared to benefit. If only I'd listened to you, my dearest Yoni. But at the time, I had no idea that you were actually communicating with me. I would have laughed if anyone had suggested to me that you were making your feelings about my relationship with James and my relationship with life in general known to me. I had no way of interpreting the ever-present vague misgivings and occasional spikes of non-specific panic that I was experiencing as important messages from you, my dear Yoni. And so, my ego was fully in control, charging full steam ahead, doing whatever it could to try and save my marriage. In hindsight, I should rather have sat still for a while, meditated, and listened. But that is definitely not what I chose to do. And that's it for today, dear listener. Join us again next week for the next exciting episode of Dear Yoni. Bye.